Dear Heavenly Father, you are the God who said to us, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And we believe that. But we find sometimes that the difficulties of life lead us astray. And I pray that we could learn from the Psalms this morning that you are good and upright. And you lead us in the best way. I ask this through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Two roads diverged in a yellow wood. And sorry I could not travel both and be one traveler, long I stood. And I looked down one as far as I could, to where it bent into the undergrowth. Then I took the other as just as fair, and having perhaps the better claim, because it was grassy and wanted wear, though as for that, the passing there had worn them really about the same. And both that morning equally lay, in leaves no step had trodden black. Oh, I kept the first for another day, yet knowing how way leads on to way, I doubted if I should ever come back. I shall be telling this with a sigh, somewhere ages and ages hence. Two roads diverged in a wood, and I took the one less traveled by, and that has made all the difference. Now tell me you don't like poetry. Come on. I guess you don't. I think Mr. Frost was talking about something more than taking a walk in a state park. I think he was talking about life. And everyone in this room could tell a story about some time in life where you came to a point and you chose a pathway, and where you are today is directly connected to the pathway you chose sometimes 50 years ago. Don't we find that to be true? Sadly, when I think about this, there were pathways that I got on that I didn't consciously choose that pathway. I just kind of drifted onto it. Anybody else? Some of my pathways, I can say that was that I made that choice. And then other of my pathways, I find that somehow or another, life just kind of pinballed me around, and I fell into that pathway. We're studying Psalm 25 about how to live well in difficult times. And David said this, good and upright is the Lord. Therefore, he instructs sinners in the way. He leads the humble in what is right. He teaches the humble his pathway. You see, in difficult times, God proves his divine nature to me. It's in my difficulties that God has the chance to say, let me show you what my divine nature really looks like. And this passage says, that good and upright is the Lord. Now, I want to press on both of these words because they're so easy to read over. It's so easy to read good and upright is the Lord and really not have any conscious thoughts to go with that. Are you identifying with me? We just kind of read over it and we don't even ask ourselves, what does good mean? We don't even ask ourselves, what does upright mean? We just kind of slide over them. But let's not do that. Good means favorable, agreeable, suitable. Now let's read it that way. The Lord is favorable. If wherever you are in life, if you can really see Christ, there's something favorable about him. Your heart will naturally favor him. He's agreeable. I'm sorry some of you learned that God was grouchy and that he was austere. God, the Lord is good. He's agreeable. He's suitable. God is suitable for you in every life situation. Church, I want to walk on a pathway that is blazed by the Lord Jesus Christ because it is the good way. It's the favorable way. It's the agreeable way. It's the suitable way. This next word that is translated upright, it's even more interesting. It's actually the Hebrew word that means to be in order, orderly, or everything in its right place. The Lord is in order. He's orderly. Everything is in its right place. In contrast to evil is chaos. All the chaos, all of the discord, all of the ugliness of life, that is attributable to evil. But if I look to the Lord and I see him as he honestly is, I say, that guy has his act together. The Lord has his act together. He knows how to do everything when it needs to be done and the way it needs to be done. So David says, in my times of trouble, I have a basic expectation that God is going to show up in my life. And when he does, he's going to show up and I'm going to sense his favor. If everything around me is unpleasant, I'm going to find something very agreeable about him. When the Lord shows up in my life, chaos is going to be arranged into good order. And the things that haven't been suitable will be made suitable. Church. And because the Lord is favorable and in order, he takes three actions to help us. And they're in verses 8 and 9. Do you see the therefore? The favorable and agreeable. And in order is the Lord, therefore, because he's that way, he instructs sinners in the way. He leads the humble in what is right. He teaches the humble his way. I'm pleased that this says he teaches sinners. Church. Amen. That pleases me. You don't have to pass a bunch of religious tests before Christ will teach you his way. In fact, he's ready to teach anybody who's ready to say, I'm a sinner. If you're ready to say, I'm a sinner, the teacher appears. The one who is good and upright appears and says, just the kind of student I like to have. Let me instruct you. Sadly, if you think you have become righteous and good above all, if you think you have arrived, the teacher disappears. The second thing is he leads the humble. these two really go along. It's really hard to lead somebody who won't be led. Huh? Hey, parents, it's hard to lead children who won't be led. Huh? Hey, adult kids, maybe it's hard to lead your parents who won't be led. But in life, it's absolutely true. It's easier to lead somebody who's humble enough to be led than somebody who's so proud they don't think they need any. Living GPS to tell them where to turn. I'm working my way through the struggles of life. I stop looking at all these other things, and I look up and I see the God who is favorable and agreeable, who is in order. And then he says to me, I know what you're going through. I can instruct you through this. I know what you're going through. I can lead you through this. I know what you're going through, and I'm able to take everything you are experiencing right now, and I'm able to turn it into a lesson. Church, that makes everything look different to me. How about you? It's just not random nonsense that's happening in my life. It's just not, the world is so messed up. There is a great, loving Lord Jesus Christ who says, things may look out of order in your life, but I've got the order. And if you'll let me, I'll teach you and I'll lead you. Amen. The Bible likes this imagery of pathways. Let me read you a passage from Proverbs chapter 4. And I want you to listen to every time for the word path and way. Do not enter the path of the wicked. Do not walk in the way of evil. Avoid it. Do not go on it. Turn away from it and pass on. But the path of the righteous is like the light of dawn, which shines brighter and brighter until full day. The way of the wicked is like deep darkness. They do not know over what they stumble. Do you hear this? In the Proverbs, it's comparing the way we live again to pathways. And there is the pathway of the wicked, and there is the pathway of the righteous. And they have very different effects in our lives. In difficult times, we're often misdirected. We go astray because we react to the difficulties, but don't look for divine guidance. Does this ever happen to you? You're just reacting to the problem, but you're not anywhere looking to God and saying, hey, you're good and upright. Would you instruct me through this? How can you use this tomorrow? One, the minute you become aware of a difficult situation, just whisper a little prayer. Just whisper a little prayer and ask for guidance. You can say, along with Psalm 25, verse 9, you can say, or verse 10, you can say, I'm asking for guidance because you told me that you are the God of covenant love and you are the God who is faithful. Remember, we studied this word last week. We've studied it several times. It's the Hebrew word chesed. And here it shows up in Psalm 25, 10. It says, you are a God who keeps his covenant and his testimonies. The word is that word, covenant love, steadfast love. Tomorrow, when I run into a difficulty, this afternoon if you run into a difficulty, your first response can be, I know you're good and I know you're orderly, but I also know that you are the God of steadfast love. And I'm asking you, based upon your covenant love for me, to guide me through this. I don't want to do it alone. Two, I can say to God, remember your faithfulness. I'm trusting you to be faithful just like you said you would be. God is not annoyed when we ask him to be who he said he was. In fact, he likes it. He says, thank you for noticing. When you have an issue tomorrow, you can just simply pause for a minute and say, dear God, I am remembering that you promised to be faithful to me in moments just like this, and I'm asking for that. And what I think your faithfulness will look like is, you're going to teach me something by this that I don't know. You're going to guide me in a way that I wouldn't have gone without your help. Three, consider what pathway you're walking on and where does it go. Just take a minute and say, if I keep thinking like this, where is it going to lead me? Just keep saying, if I keep acting the way I'm acting right now, where is it going to lead me? Just take a moment and do a brief self-analysis and say something like this. If I stay on this present approach to life, will it get me where I want to go or will it get me somewhere I don't want to go? It's not hard to do. Somebody gets on your nerves tomorrow and you feel like saying something to them, just before you say that, say, if I say this, where will it lead? Man, I could have made my life 100 times easier if I'd have said that to myself at some important moments. Anyone? If I say this, I'm creating a pathway, and where will that pathway lead? Church? Or if I persist with this attitude, how is it going to affect the people around me, and where will it end up? Where will I end up? Where will this attitude take me? Church. Four, seek instruction on the right pathway in the teaching of Christ. Church, we don't read the Gospels to check a little box on our daily Bible reading. We read the Gospels to get Christ's thinking in our head. I want to be able at any moment of the day to remember something Jesus said. I might need it in that moment. It doesn't mean I have to say to everybody around me, Jesus said. It means I got to say it to myself. There are moments when I need to say to myself, Jesus said, do unto others as you would have them do unto you. Dude, I need to say that to myself. There are moments when I need to say, a soft word covers much wrath. It puts me on a different pathway. Are you thinking with me? All right. If I want to walk on the right pathway, if I want to get through life, and I know I'm going to be beaten around by the difficulties of life, I have a plan. I have a plan, and it's first to look up and see that Christ is good. He's favorable and agreeable. He's upright. He's in order. He can put things in order in my life. More than that, he has a steadfast love for me. He doesn't love me less because I'm in a difficult time. And he's faithful no matter what's happening. And because of that, now I'm looking to him and saying, I would really, really, really like you to help me to think the way you want me to think so I stay on the right pathway with you. So I can get where I'm going and this difficulty won't lead me astray. Church? I love David's honesty. You know, David would have got fired from most religious organizations, especially in the cancel culture. But God never fired him. Listen to what David says. Sometimes my life is a mess because I do the wrong things. Have you ever been able to admit that to yourself? I'm in this mess because I did something wrong. We don't like to do that, though, do we? I'm in this mess because you did this, because they did this. This is not my fault. David says, dear God, this time I'm in a mess because I didn't do the right thing. I'm in a mess because I didn't pay attention to what I was saying and it led me down a wrong road. I'm in a mess because I didn't treat people the way I should have. Church. Now David says, for your name's sake, O Lord, pardon my guilt, for it is great. See, there are some times when I'm in difficult times, it's really not my own making, and my only hope is to look up to God and say, I believe in all the awesome things about who you are. Would you please guide me through this? Okay, but there are some times I have to be honest with God and say, I messed this up. This is my fault. All right. What does that conversation sound like? It sounds like this. Dear God, I'm not asking you for what I deserve. I'm saying for your name's sake, would you pardon my guilt? And I acknowledge that it's great. Church. Sometimes the only way to get through a problem is to look in the mirror and say, this problem persists because I keep doing the wrong thing. Church, the problem's not going to go away till I stop doing the wrong thing. And I can pray all I want. I can read poetry. I can do whatever I want. The problem's not going away until I'm willing to say to myself, brother, you're not doing the right thing. And this is not going to change until you do the right thing. That's what David's doing right here. David right here is saying, I recognize that I've gone down the wrong path. I've gotten myself in a bad place. But I don't have to stay here. And I'm going to begin by saying, for your own name's sake, would you pardon my guilt, for it is great. The Lord forgives, for his character is forgiving. The Lord forgives for the name of Christ, not because I deserve it. Listen. The Lord forgives to glorify his own name. When I come to forgiveness, I don't have to bargain with God. I don't have to say, if you'll forgive me, I won't do this and I won't do that. If you forgive me, I'll do this and I'll do that. Forgiveness is not a bargaining. Forgiveness is a looking to the quality character of God and saying, I know who you are. And I know it's your nature to forgive. And I'm asking you to forgive me because that is who you are. Church. Do you remember how this psalm began? Psalm 25:1. To you, O Lord, I lift up my soul. O my God, I trust in you. Let me not be put to shame. Let not my enemies exult over me. Indeed, none who wait for you shall ever be put to shame. They shall be ashamed who are wantonly treacherous. What is David doing? He's saying, dear God, I've gone down a wrong pathway. I'm not in a place where I want to be. And my only way forward is to lift my soul up to you. I've gone down a wrong pathway. I've come to a dead end. I'm in a ditch. I'm in a rut. And my only way forward is to lift my soul up to you. And I trust you. Church. If my difficulty is caused by my own failure, then I seek forgiveness by not making excuses and simply saying to God, I trust you with this worst part of my soul. It's easy for me to trust God with what's good about me. Huh? Hey, God, I've been a pretty good boy this week. It's harder for me to trust God with the ugly that I know about myself. Right? Jesus said, a person isn't defiled by what they eat. A person is defiled by what comes out of them. Our souls defile our lives. Our lives don't defile our souls. So listen. I have to admit I'm in a problem because I made mistakes. I don't sit there and beat myself up. I don't wallow in the guilt and the shame and the remorse. I look up and I say, you're good. You're upright. Your love is steadfast. You're faithful. I'm trusting you with this soul I've messed up. I'm trusting you. And I'm trusting you. Listen, Christians. I'm trusting you that you're going to get me through this in the kind of way that I'm not going to be humiliated and ashamed. Church? Christ doesn't want to shame you. Who wants to walk down the pathway with Jesus if you're going to be shamed at every bend in the road? He doesn't want to shame you. Maybe the church shamed you. Maybe somebody who was a little too religious shamed you. Maybe somebody wagged their finger at you stepped on you when you were down. But that's not Christ. David said, I trust you with what is most ugly and stupid and broken about me. And I trust you that you're going to lead me in the way that'll make me better and not just shame me. Church, I can trust a God like that. Forgiveness and restoration are one of the beautiful pathways in which the Lord leads us. He says, I'm not just going to forgive you. I'm going to restore you. I'm going to get you back on track. I wonder, would today be a good time for you to become serious about seeking divine forgiveness? I wonder if this would be the good day for you to say to God, I've never really trusted you before. I've heard about you being good, but I've never really trusted your goodness. I've heard about you being upright, but I've never really trusted your uprightness. I've heard about your steadfast love, but I've never really trusted you for it. I've heard about your faithfulness, but I've been afraid if I trusted you, you would shame me. Maybe today is the day you could lay that thinking aside and you could say to Christ for the very first time, I'm not distrusting you anymore. I'm not distrusting you anymore. I'm acknowledging that I've made some mistakes in life. And there are disappointments to me, there are disappointments to others, and there are disappointments to you. But I understand you in a different way, and today I'm going to put my trust in you. Church, what if today you were to say something like this? Dear God, I have gone down wrong pathways in life, and they've led me places that I don't want to be. They've created attitudes in me that I don't enjoy. They've established habits in me that aren't healthy and good. But I don't want to be on this pathway anymore. And I'm trusting you. I'm placing my soul in your hands and asking you to lift me off of this pathway and put me on a pathway where you can instruct me and I can get to become the man you want me to be and live the life you want me to live. Could you do that today? In these verses we looked at today, David calls on the Lord three times. He says, O Lord, three times in these verses. He called on the Lord, and he said, I'm calling on you because you are good and upright. Then he called on the Lord, and he said, I'm calling upon you because your love is steadfast and you're faithful. And that gets him to the third call. I'm calling upon you because you are the forgiving God. Church. I first call upon him and say, I know how good you are. I know how upright you are. I know how faithful you are. I know how steadfast your love is. And because I know that, for the first time in my life, I am willing and able to trust you with the worst things I know about myself and ask you to forgive me and teach me a better way. Church, can you hear this? When I read this, I think of Romans 10:13. Whoever calls upon the name of the Lord will be saved. Oh, I want to ask one more time. Some of you arrived at church today, and you've never really trusted Christ as your Savior. I'm not saying that you're terrible, you're ugly, you're wicked. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying somehow or another in the pathways of life, you've never had that holy moment where you said to Christ, I trust you. I'm not counting on my good works anymore. I'm not counting that I'll ever figure this out and be so much better. I'm stopping right here on this pathway, and I'm saying, I'm calling upon you. I'm calling upon you to save me and make me acceptable with God. Maybe this morning, that is a prayer that you ought to pray. Maybe this morning, your future pathway might look a whole lot different if you were walking on it in faith with Christ and not all by yourself. Maybe your future pathway would look very, very different if it wasn't you always trying to prove yourself and you could come to a moment of deep trust where you say to Christ, I have nothing to prove. My whole trust is in what you've already proven. Church, can you hear me? And there is one pathway that this trust in Christ is non-negotiable. Maybe you have deceived yourself that you can dodge and weave through life. And you can play nice Christian games, but you don't really have to ever really surrender yourself to Christ. Okay. But there comes a moment, church. There comes a moment for every one of us where Christ saying, I am the way, the truth, and the life means no man comes to my Father but by my pathway. Church, the day is coming when I can't dodge and weave anymore. The day is coming when the road divides in a yellow wood and I walk on the pathway with Christ into eternal life. Or I walk on the other pathway and it leads to destruction. Church, there's coming a day when the pathway of your life divides. And it divides in a radical way. And in that day, your profound belief in the goodness and the uprightness, the faithfulness and the steadfast love of Christ, that will carry you on the pathway into God's kingdom. So why not make today the day that you come to this quiet, holy moment and you say in your heart, for your namesake, O Lord, pardon my guilt, for it is great. I'm trusting my soul with you. I'm lifting my soul up to you. Our dear Heavenly Father, I ask that your Holy Spirit would sweep gently over our hearts. I'm asking for my Christian brothers and sisters who at one point trusted you in this way, but the paths of life had led them astray. And now they find themselves somewhere way away from where they had dreamed of being. I pray they'd lift their soul up to you today and trust you for your forgiveness. I pray for my friends who have come here today and never had that holy moment with Jesus Christ. They've just never had that moment when they let down their guard and they trusted you and they called on your name and they felt your saving grace. I pray your Spirit would whisper so gently to their souls today that they could find themselves saying to you, I trust in you. I hope in you. I surrender everything. bad about me, and I receive all the grace that Christ is willing to give me. And I pray this in Jesus' name, amen.